We're ahead of time anyway. Yeah. No question about that. Well, what evidence would he have presented at that? What evidence would he have?
Mr. Schwartz. Can you hear me? Maybe you can ask him this question. Ask him what manifestation there is in the record as to what evidence Mr. Berkey would have presented had there been such a hearing. Ask him what evidence Berkey would have presented if there had been an evidentiary hearing on the amount of drugs that was attributable to him. Thank you.
The subject, the object of fact, is that with 350 months, one could objectively say that they would just set up a guilty plea, the possibility of 350 month sentence versus the life sentence that would be
relevant conduct in terms of the amount of drugs. I don't know if that's a very important aspect of this argument.
Mr. Schwartz, can you hear me now?
I can answer better, thank you.
Now, he never alleged that but for counsel's advice he would have insisted on a trial, did he?
Well, I don't understand. He just wants a new sentencing hearing, doesn't he?
But, I believe he does.
Now, of course, there is a possibility, is there not, that at a new sentencing hearing, he might not receive that three-level reduction for acceptance of responsibility, or is there?
Well, you exaggerated a little because with credit for good time, he wouldn't serve 30 years. Well, I thought it was 15%. I thought you could get 15% off.
That's my understanding that it's around the 10%, but I certainly defer to the court.
Your white light is on. You might want to save something for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Schwartz. Mr. Leggins?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Tom Leggins, and I represented the government at every stage of the proceedings in this case from the arraignment forward.
It's really a terrible case, isn't it? I mean, in the fact that, you've got, this counsel who gets disbarred almost immediately, after this trial.
There could be prettier facts, Your Honor.
What a great concession.
But even with the ugly facts, I think under a Strickland standard, this court has to conclude that the government should prevail in this case. I think your initial question, in fact, goes right to the heart of the matter, is what is the real prejudice here?
Well, Mr. Schwartz argues that if there had been an evidentiary hearing at the sentencing, a competent lawyer for Berkey would have cross-examined his accusers and shown that they were, exaggerating the amounts.
The problem with that argument is that Mr. Berkey's accusers had already been cross-examined through the course of a month-and-a-half-long trial, which the district court, the district court that sentenced Mr. Berkey sat through. So, and they were, it was a, I believe, a 5 or 6 defendant case. So there were 5 or 6 defense attorneys taking shots at those very witnesses. Those witnesses weathered that storm before the jury, and the district court, I think, made an eminently reasonable finding in this case that having heard all of that evidence, that it wasn't likely that Mr. Berkey was going to be able to marshal the forces to ruin those witnesses' credibility either.
Had that been a jury trial?
Yes, that was a jury trial, Your Honor. The second point I would like to make with regard to the prejudice prong, and which hasn't been mentioned this morning, is
well, in the sentencing hearing in that trial, had there been controversy over quantities?
Yes, we fought.
So the judge had in effect resolved the quantities question bearing on Berkey in this other case. Is that what you're saying?
What I am saying is that in the course of this conspiracy, the quantities, of course, were all established by the same set of witnesses with regard to each of the co-defendants. And for the witness or for the defendants who went to trial, they all contested amounts of sentencing, and the government weathered all of those contests. The second point I'd like to make with regard to prejudice, and then I will finish my argument, is that the procedural aspects of what the defendant is claiming in his brief, that had he known this, had his attorney told him this, then he would have done this, or had he just known that X set of facts were true, then he would have done Y. If you look at the record, whether or not the defense counsel told him that or not, it doesn't matter, because the district court, during its plea colloquy, informed the defendant that he had a right to an evidentiary hearing, he didn't have to plead guilty. He even told him what his likely sentence was going to be, based upon my representation that this defendant would be a level 38 with acceptance of responsibility. And I didn't know what his criminal history category was, but the district court told Mr. Berkey that if he changed his plea, it was the government's position that he was looking at 292 months in prison, which is certainly within the ballpark of what he actually did receive. The last thing I would like to address is your question of how much good time a defendant is eligible for. It is 15%, and if you do the math in this case, that would work out to, I believe, about 25 and a half years of actual time that this defendant would have to serve. And if Your Honors have no further questions, that
is there anything in the record about his education? Or I mean, he did have a criminal record based on prior experience.
The PSI is contained in Mr. Berkey's appendix to this court, and I presume that information would be in there. My recollection is that he did have a high school education. I know Judge Gilbert typically asks defendants that during the plea colloquy also, so it should be in there.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Sorry.
And Mr. Schwartz, how much time does he have? You have 2 minutes, Mr. Schwartz.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. The first question that the court reported, I think, is absolutely true, and that is that the facts are phenomenally ugly. Not only was North this far, but it was this far because of his conduct in this case. I mean, some significant part, and I think that there are great arguments on both sides of this case, but if we step back, the court permits itself to step back and look at how ugly the facts are.
Yes, but what about Mr. Legan's point that the... Yes, but what about Mr. Legan's point that these quantity issues were gone into in the co-defendant's trial?
Yes, thank you. First of all, that is on record here, of course. But the government's argument there is that the accusers were cross-examined by not only one, but by a number of defendants. But what's most important is that they were cross-examined about quantities and responsibility for those quantities by people that not only didn't have Ken Berkey's interest at heart, but people who were actually trying to place responsibility for those quantities on him. So it's really it's untrue to say that for any purposes that might have benefited Ken Berkey.
But how could it? He was a member of the conspiracy, so he was responsible for these quantities.
And he can't be found responsible for for analysis for anything that was done prior to this conspiracy occurred, according to the second superseding of indictment.
Mm-hmm.
In 1985, and his involvement began in 1991, according to the indictment. But, you know, had he had an opportunity, I think, to show that anybody was benefiting him by cross-examining these witnesses, I think isn't true. They were actually doing just the opposite.
But what do you mean they were doing the opposite? Were they arguing that they had joined after Berkey? What benefit would they get? What benefit would they gain from saying that, oh, it was Berkey, if they're part of the same conspiracy? Wouldn't they try to be minimizing the amount handled by the conspiracy? Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Schwartz. Your time has expired, and
thank you.
Oh, wait. Excuse me. Oh, wait one second, Mr. Schwartz. Judge Rovner has a question. Yeah. Judge Rovner has a question for Mr. Leggan. So you...
I may not have caught this correctly, but did you say that Judge Gilbert told Mr. Berkey that the neighborhood would be around 292 months? Is that what you said?
He told him, he called upon me, since this was an open plea, he asked me, what is your assessment of what his guideline calculations are going to be at the end of the day? I said a level 38, which I believe renders a guideline range of something to 292 months.
So, in other words, at that moment, he believed that his ceiling would be 292 months.
I don't know what Mr. Berkey believed, but I do know that the court told him. I vividly remember he pulled out the guidelines book and said, the government says you're level 38. That means you fit in here. The range is this to 292 months, and if you have a criminal history, it could be more. That's what Judge Gilbert told him.
Because you said, you know, it was within the ballpark.
Yes.
And the ballpark turns out to be 360 months.
Yes.
So that's
with the criminal record.
That's 68.
Yes.
That's 68 months.
Yes.
That wasn't accounted for.
And the kicker was that he did have a criminal record.
Yeah.
But you informed the court and him that you had no idea of a prior criminal record when you brought it in the ballpark figure.
On an open plea, I typically don't.
Right.
I don't know what it is.
Okay. I know, but it was brought to his attention.
Yes, that it could be more if he had a criminal record,
okay.
Which it turned out he did.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Leggan. Mr. Schwartz, do you have anything further?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Schwartz, and thank you to Mr. Leggan. Our last case for argument is Coleman versus United States, Mr. Shelley.